Congregation, we are busy with the book of Isaiah today. We opened it earlier, and I ask you to turn with me to Isaiah again, chapter 40, please. That's on page 754. It's a very well-known passage. Some of you might even be able to recite it for us. That's how familiar it is. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flower fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good things, tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. This is the word of the Lord. And our text is part of verse 3, the second part. I'll read the whole verse. The voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Especially that word, highway. Dear congregation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, highway traveling has changed and improved these last few decades. Think of the freeways 400. Now, not every freeway is free. We all know that. You travel on 407, you pay for it. But anyway, also on these highways there are pileups and holdups, sometimes very badly so. And also some of, especially the new cars, include a GPS navigation system so that you may arrive at the right destination. But our text refers to a highway, a freeway, if you will. And it is constructed for Christians. So let's talk about traveling on heaven's highway, or if you will, the Lord's highway, God's highway. And it is quite conspicuous that this highway goes through the desert. And the desert stands for, I believe, a dry and thirsty land, as the Bible says. It can be wild, dangerous, nothing to drink after a while, and no particular path to go on. For example, Judah, Palestine, God's people are pictured like the desert in the prophecies of Isaiah. Their spiritual condition is death. You see, the world looks like that too. The world in which we live, a place without God, spiritual deadness, lost in darkness and without hope, and full of fear what might happen to this world. Like a desert. Is it not true, brothers and sisters and young people, that also the desert stands for your or my condition and nature? We also are like a desert by nature. Nothing to offer. Dead. And then we also read in this particular passage that the glory and splendor of the Lord has been revealed in this desert, in this waste, if you will. The desert, as a matter of fact, has been turned into fertile land, a country full of bloom. For example, Lebanon, with its lofty trees and vegetation, or Mount Carmel with its colorful growth, or the Valley of Sharon with its roses and foliage. Beautiful country, no longer a desert. You see, the people, the remnant that are in exile, carried by the Assyrian forces, and for 70 years they are in exile. But now, when they read this wonderful prophecy, the people, the remnant, are called to life and hope again, to strengthen the feeble knees and to steady the knees that gave way. The enemy, it will be destroyed. And in the midst of such a restored land and people, a new highway is made. A prophecy will be fulfilled. John the Baptist talks about it. He talks about preparing the way. And who is this highway? No one else but Jesus Christ. He is that highway on which also in this new year, 2014, we may travel. So what kind of a highway is this? Well, we know for sure the way the prophet talks about it here is that there's only one such highway. You know, a lot of people, especially in our society today, that they will tell you there are several roads to heaven. You have the Christian one, Islamic one, the Hindu one, and you name it, you want. But the prophet of old is very adamant in saying there's only one way to heaven, one way into the kingdom of God. So you and I also in this new year are called to do away with false religion. Oh, there's so much of it in our society. Just take the cults, for example. There are several cults in our society. And we sort of take it for granted. That's how it is, you know. You can't do much about it. But they are not traveling on this one wonderful, beautiful highway. Also, the occult is making inroads in our modern society. The occult, with its own philosophies and its own way of salvation. The New Age. You read a lot about that. New Age. Another modern philosophy. You know, they all advocate there are many, many roads to heaven. But there is only one, congregation. Only one. It's also, you know, to say a little bit more about this highway, it's a unique highway. It's unique. There is no other such highway. For one thing, it's holy. And holy, this word holy means in this connection, it's set aside for a purpose. That's why it's holy. You are a holy people because God has set you apart as his children to show the light. So this one way, this unique highway is holy in that sense. It's set aside for a wonderful purpose. And just to realize, congregation, you know, we just celebrate Christmas, that Jesus came. But, you know, Jesus came for a reason. He came to suffer, to die, to pay for our sin and our guilt. And so this highway is a real freeway. Christ paved it entirely by his work as a substitute, the one who came in our place, Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. He paid for this highway. So it's consecrated by him and opened by his victory over the grave, and he gives a direction. He is the GSP, as it were, for you. And then we also know that it's, you know, for the child of God, this one highway is a safe highway. See, you know, when you travel the highways here, you're bound to see an accident, or you get into an accident, and there's deaths on this highway, and you name it. But this one highway that is set aside for a wonderful purpose, it's a safe highway. Once you're on it, of course you're being tempted, and there are the temptations galore, but when you are a child of God, the Holy Spirit will keep you and will give you strength to say no to all those temptations. This is a safe highway. And we should preach that from the housetops. It's a safe highway because it's Jesus Christ is the highway. Then another wonderful thing about this highway is it's a highway on which the redeemed are traveling. Think about that for a moment. The believers walk on it. And I say, you know, they need to walk on it daily. Every moment. And you realize it's a faith matter. It's a matter of choice. So also in this new year, you may have had many resolutions, but one good resolution would be, Lord, I want to walk on this highway. Help me, please. And then it will show, you know, that Christ determines what kind of family you are. And Christ determines what marriage means for you. And Christ determines what kind of education your children should have in this mixed up world. And how we should handle our mother. How we handle old age. I mean, you know. And I thank God for giving me 80 years and maybe a few more. But also, old age, people who are older also need to walk on this highway. There's no excuse for them. They especially should show the way. Traveling is done with the Lord, and His Word and the Spirit are directives. They are the GSP. Otherwise, we'll get lost on the way. We won't reach our destination. So, congregation, where does this highway lead? We know what kind of a highway it is. It leads through a desert. But now, where does it lead to? What is its destination? Well, in the Old Testament, of course, you know, people going through the desert, they like to arrive in the promised land, and then they like to build the city of Jerusalem. That was something very important to the Jew in the Old Testament. And if possible, that at least once in their lifetime, they would go to that beautiful temple in Jerusalem. It was very, extremely important for them. Now here also, in Isaiah 40 and in some of the other chapters, you know, this highway leads to a destination. And later on in this chapter, you find out about what that destination is. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, be not afraid. Here is your God, is the message. So that was how it was in the Old Testament. Now in the New Testament, how does God fulfill for you and me, you are my destination as we travel on this divine highway, this freeway? Well, of course, it's already present in you and my life, is it not? As a child of God, you already have the beginnings. You already know where you're going. And your life will show it that we are pilgrims. We are on the way. We have no abiding city here. We cannot emphasize enough in this day and age when things, you know, pass so fast. Everything, you know, is a moment, is an instant. But you and I, as God's people, have something permanent. something that the last, we are on the way to the New Jerusalem. Through this veil of tears, this valley of the shadow of death, we are traveling, but there is a future, a beautiful future, something to really look forward to. You know, Christians are the only people in the world that have a living hope. And hope, you know what that means? You have something to expect. You are waiting for something. Something wonderful is going to happen. Christ is going to appear on the clouds of heaven, and he will make a new heaven and a new earth in which nothing but righteousness will dwell. It's good to hear this on the first Sunday of this year, brothers and sisters, that you and I have a destiny. You and I have a future. Not a question mark behind it. You know, the Bible, some places talks about, you know, when you go there, you have to go through a gate. Jesus mentions that the gate is narrow and so on. But entrance is guaranteed for those who believe on him who has gone ahead. The gate is wide open for them. You see, the redeemed are wearing crowns of joy and gladness already now. Isn't it wonderful to be able to share with your children that they belong to the Lord? And isn't it for an older person such as I to be able to say, Jesus is my Savior and my Lord. I have nothing to fear. Nothing. Are you traveling on God's highway? Jesus, who was born in a stable, is now reigning in glory. He is handling the steering wheel. And he manages the cruise control. He is indeed the GSP. All the way. And when you have, and that happens to all of us at times, when you have wandered off the road and gotten lost, let this Jesus direct you back onto the ramp of heaven's height. And you won't be sorry. I don't know whether you know English poetry, but John Bunyan, in his Pilgrim's Progress, something wonderful to say. The character Goodwill says to the Christian, look before you. Do you see this narrow way? That's the way you must go. It was cast up by the patriarchs, the prophets, the Christ, and the apostles. And Goodwill says, and it is as straight as a rule can make it. This is the way it was called. And I'd like to quote from a song that was sung by and made, formulated by the Immigrants, a band which initiated at Redeemer Christian University. And they called it Home at Last. This is how it goes. And I think it connects you with the hereafter. Far away, drifting wherever the sea moves away, though we live for the future, we live out the past, and all that we ask is to be home at last. All that we ask for is home. Closer now, feeling the warmth of the sun on our brow, and a wind that will blow to a place we all know, a place from the past, a home that will last. All that we need is our home. Home at last. All our sails taken down from their mast. Though the future's uncertain, our memories hold fast, but to how good it is to be home. Home. Thank God. It's good.